God's will is that we will live forever in heaven. This is the will of him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. Christ references life a lot in his teaching. He said, I have come that they might have life more abundantly. He spoke of life from a lot of different perspectives in the various events of the gospel. Life is hard to define, and part of what makes it difficult to define is what part of life we're talking about whenever we are trying to make a definition. We know if we have life to a certain degree, and yet in the scripture we're invited, even though we are alive, to come to life. And so there may be some parts of life that we still lack, that we need to come to, and that we might be fully alive. We think of life in biological terms, and we think about our body, and we think a lot of times, maybe identify what life is more by what it is not. So we think, of our body, or we think of vegetation or animals, and we think, these have these characteristics, and if they don't have those characteristics, then maybe they're not alive. And the same way with a philosophical view of life, like the thinker that said, I think, therefore I am. The philosophies that we have, the consciousness of our own existence and of that of those around us. Perhaps the ability to communicate in some way. And yet in all of these, there are exceptions too, aren't there? So any time that we would think of characteristics of what it is to be alive physically or mentally or emotionally, there would be exceptions to that rule as well. It's hard to nail down what life is in a way that can be just defined strictly. And so it is with the religious life. The religious definitions of life tend more towards a relationship, a divine relationship, relationship with our Creator, with each other, and with our fellow creatures. In this passage of Scripture today, and others like it, Jesus identifies a relationship with God and with each other, linked with our confidence, our faith, that brings us into life everlasting. So in this passage of Scripture, as we think about the bread of life, and it goes through the various stages that Jesus speaks of, and down through all of these many verses, then we're called and challenged to place our confidence in Him and to believe in Him and in the life that He is offering to us in Christ. One of the apostles wrote that in order for us to please God, we first have to believe that God exists and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. If we don't believe that God exists, it'd be hard to have a relationship with God. Amen. So that would be that a first step. There is some kind of a way of coming to confidence that God even exists, and then next to think about that God responds to us when we pray, is aware of us and cares about us. And so we have all kinds of Bible verses that we can quote to that effect, but yet again, if somebody doesn't believe in God or believe in those Bible verses or believe in our organization that we have or the creeds that we lay out there, then how still can they come into everlasting life? How can they be brought into that faith? They have only, the people of God to look at and to hear your witness and to see what it is, how you are implementing that faith in your life in order for them to be able to have faith in God. That's really the way that each of us came to faith, isn't it? By a family or friends or combination of different people who told us about Christ, who showed us about Christ, and little by little we came into a saving faith and confidence in God. The Bible calls us into the kind of believing or the kind of faith that has results, that accomplishes something, that does not just keep declaring bumper sticker sayings or keep declaring points in a creed, but that makes a change and a difference in our lives, in our relationship with each other, and in the world around us, in our communities, in our activities, in our way of living, and in the lives of other people, to bring improvement and quality to life. So that kind of a faith is a confidence in God and in God's will. In this passage of Scripture, in the verse that I highlight, Jesus said that it's God's will that everyone who sees Him and believes on Him may have everlasting life. God's will is that everybody would come to a saving relationship with Him through Jesus Christ. Do you believe in God's will? In that purpose? Do you think that's a good purpose? Sometimes we see some of the things that some people do and we think, how could that person be included? They had this commentary on that Tom Brokaw did along with the Olympics and showing all of the devastation in London. Perhaps you saw that this week. And as they would, every time they would show a picture of the German Fuhrer, it would just spark this sense in me and a question as to how could somebody like that be included. So we're challenged to expand our thoughts when we think about people like that that would do such horrible things. And he's not alone, is he? There's a lot of others like that in our generation and even in our time now who are ruthless, and it's hard for us to expand our thoughts to think that it's God's will that everyone should come into saving knowledge. But just think if some of those people already knew Christ and came into that saving relationship, how many of those tragic scenes would have been avoided along the way? God's purpose is all good for each person. And if we can join Him in that purpose, then the world would be a better place. And a lot of these horrible scenes on our news would be prevented. won't it be wonderful when we come to a place and a time in life when there is no more sin like that, no more evil, no more hatred, no more. Wouldn't it be wonderful if that day were today? Would there be something wrong with that? If today were the day that no one perpetrated crime against anyone ever again. If today were the day when goodness and love reigned and there was no room in the world for hate or fear or meanness or evil or corruption or any of these things that just tear people's lives apart and cause tragedies that we can't begin to even define or imagine. That's what God wants for us and for all. So, do you believe in that? Do you believe in that, in God's will? Do you believe in what God wants? God's vision for humanity. All of this is described by Jesus, isn't it? I think probably the trickiest question of all of that in God's will is perhaps more than, do you believe that God wants this to happen? Do you think that God has the ability, the power, to make it happen? Do you believe that God is able to do what He says? Do you believe that God is able to carry out His will, to convert the heart of the greatest sinner, to convert the world, to convert me, to convert you? So God calls us into everlasting life, and this life is a gift. The wages of sin is death. That doesn't come from life. Death and destruction and despair and all that comes together with that, that doesn't come from God. That comes from sin. But the free gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. The life that we got up with this morning, anything that we can think of, like I said, is beginning here. It's kind of hard to define what life is and what it is not. But whatever understanding that you have and that I have this morning about life and what it is that we got up with this morning, that came as a gift from God and something to be cherished and to be explored and to be used and to be enjoyed and to be put to work for our benefit, the benefit of our family, our friends, and the world, and to make the world a better place today. A little closer today, that prayer that we prayed a while ago, we prayed this prayer and it said, "Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven." That's like now. That's today, a little bit closer. We might, you know, we might think, well, we might not be able to pull it all off this hour or in this 24-hour period, but just a little closer in this hour, a little closer this today, and a little more of it. And what can I do to make it happen? Life is seen in the teachings of Christ as having much to do with relationship with God and with one another. And the commandment that we love God with our heart, mind, strength, and soul, that we love our neighbor as ourselves, those are ancient commandments that Christ elevated to the most prominent position of one who has faith in God, and then placed on the night he gave himself up to us, for us, that commandment for anybody that really does believe in him. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. By this, everybody will know if you really are my disciple. This life is in the Spirit. Whenever we have a funeral, we have part of the ritual, of the Christian funeral ritual, for ours and many other denominations, has the committal prayer, where we say, whereas the spirit of the dearly departed hath returned to God who gave it, we therefore tenderly commit to the ground their body, earth to earth, ashes to ashes, and dust to dust, looking for the general resurrection in the last day, and the life of the world to come. The Spirit is life. The Spirit continues to live even if we lay aside this earthly tabernacle. The Spirit is that invisible part of us, the part that we love the most about one another, isn't it? The part that we miss when we're apart, and the part that we love when we're together, is the caring, the friendship, the sense of connectedness with one another's hearts and minds, the fellowship, the joy that we share, the memories, all of these invisible parts of us, they're part of that gift from God that returns to God who gave it. But Jesus promises also a resurrection, not just in this passage, but in many others. When he was at the tomb of Lazarus, he said, I am the resurrection and the life. Everyone who believes in me, though they were dead, yet shall they live. And whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe that? That's not my question, that was his, that's part of the passage. Do you believe that? Can you believe that? Can you believe it? Do you? Jesus is offering us a life in the Spirit that is independent of the body, and yet for some reason God made our body, breathed his life into it, breathed into man the breath of life, and promises us a general resurrection in the last day that will be a glorious confirmation of the life that we have, that is the eternal life that Jesus speaks of here in John 3:16 and all kinds of other places in the Bible talking about life. The Apostle Paul wrote this, I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them which are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others which have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so also which sleep them which sleep in Jesus, God will bring with him. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we which are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord shall not prevent them which are asleep. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Jesus invites us to join Him in His resurrection, to join Him in an eternal life, and to bring with us all our friends and all our family. Even our friends and family that we think might have to come dragging, kicking and screaming. And even some of them that we think there's no way they could make it. He wants us to be a part of making His dream happen. Do you believe that God can do what God wants to do? That He has the power? I think the biggest sign to me that God has the power to save anybody is that God saved me. This is the will of Him that sent me, that everyone which seeth the Son and believeth on Him may have everlasting life. And I will raise him up at the last day. Amen.